Look, I think what's really exciting about the nut industry is its appeal to consumers. Not only is it a great tasting product, but it's sort of right on trend in many ways. It fits with the paleo diet, it's gluten free, it fits with, whole foods, and increasingly the health benefits are better documented. And it's such a versatile product. You can use it as a snack, in stir fries, in baking. So many ways, and so it's we're really riding a crest of really exciting growing consumer demand.
I was very surprised to see how many different value-added nut products are coming through now from Australian manufacturers or growers.
That's right. I mean, just recently, nut milk, particularly almond milk, but nut milk became the largest selling dairy alternative, overtaking soy milk. And yes, there's hazelnut milk I saw for the first time here. Macadamia milk won a first prize at a barista's convention in Philadelphia. But also, it's moving into health and beauty products now. So, nut oils are being incorporated into face creams. And Dr. Fiona Nash, who has done all that work on burn recovery, is using a macadamia oil-based product for skin grafts. So, yeah, the opportunities for nut growers, I think, are immense.
Inevitably, though, growing industries need to become mature industries. Where on that growth curve are you?
That's a really good question, and I think almonds, in a way, are well down that path, partly because of the work of the Board of California and such an established product. So I would class them as a fully mature industry, and their rapid growth and the size of the Australian almond industry indicates that. I think macadamias is a sort of teenager about to come into sort of adulthood. The size of the industry's got to that stage now. I think the maturity of the industry body and the structures that support the industry are at that stage now. And I think we're seeing some corporate players come in, but the large family farms develop really professional structures, market really well. And then, I think walnuts, because of the involvement of Webster's, are well down that path. We're seeing their exports grow. We're seeing them sort of tackle issues around food safety and all those things really professionally. I hope that the involvement of Ferrero through their firm, Agri Australis, will see that happen in hazels. But, I think the chestnut industry, even without a large sort of vertically integrated investor, are showing great signs of stepping up, of becoming mature. And yes, I do think the industry is beginning to go from a very boutique industry driven principally by dedicated amateurs to one that is fully professional and will realise its potential.
You spoke today about the support of the industry, formerly through Horticulture Australia, now through HIA. You're critical about their emphasis on exports to Asia? Why?
Oh, look, I just think, unfortunately, they have to manage R&D and marketing for some 44 horticultural industries, I do understand it's a difficult brief, but I do think in some of the previous incarnations, their staff would get out, would engage much more closely and much more in a real partnership sense with the industry bodies. And so they had a better understanding of the industries they were trying to assist. I think there's been a bit of a disconnect there. And now I think they lack the understanding of the industries they're genuinely trying to support. I don't question their motive, but the understanding's not there. So they make policy decisions like setting Asia as the focus of their export and trade program, without understanding that nuts, which is 50% of exports, has half of its trade going to Europe. So they've immediately sort of left out 25% of Australian horticultural exports. It's also fair to say that the growth has been pretty dramatic over the last decade. So we have burst upon the scene quite recently. But it is, when there's so much focus by government and others on growing exports, to see an industry that's done that, just that, so well and so quickly, it can be frustrating sometimes not to see that recognition.
Well, then put some figures around it. What sort of volumes, what sort of value, how do you sum up the sector?
Look, nut exports, we were hopeful they'd reach $1 billion this year. We've fallen a little bit short of that with the easing off of the almond price, but I think within the next couple of years we will tick over $1 billion in exports. And nuts have never had import protection. We've always had to be internationally competitive, and that stood us in very good stead. So we're out there competing with some of the world's best. I mean, the Australian almond industry has been able to take market share off Californian almonds, one of the behemoths of world trade. And, you know, the Australian macadamia industry is the global world leader. We're the ones that open up new markets and grow those trades. I mean, macadamia is a great example. We are just 1% of the world trade in tree nuts, and 70% of our product is sold in just 5 markets. So the potential for growth, you know, into other markets and within the world tree nut trade is immense. You know, Australian almonds have gone from being a bit of an afterthought to the second largest almond producers in the world. I think we'll see similar sorts of growth in walnuts and in hazelnuts. We do have some advantages. We're a semi-perishable product, so, you know, a lot of the problems of phytosanitary trade barriers that fruit and vegetables have, we've largely avoided, but we've worked very hard to put those exports where they are now.